3, 2, 1.
What's going on, basketball world? It's me, Brandon LaChance, my co-host, Brett Roberts, back with you with another On-Court Onslaught basketball podcast. We've been gone for a little while, so we got tons of stuff to talk about. And I want to say sorry now, but it is a beautiful day in Illinois, and I'm betting it is a beautiful day in Florida where Brett's at. So the windows are open, and you might hear motorcycles. That's just the way it is. What's going on, Brett?
Not too much. Just enjoying this weather. It is pretty nice. It's really hot, but, you know, I'm in the shade, so it's all good right now.
Yeah, we had about a week and a half of, like, 100 degree, like, 40% humidity, weather, nastiness.
That's what I understand.
It's cooler. It's, like, 85, 90. I'm cool with that, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I understand it was well over 100 through parts of the Midwest last week.
Oh, it was nasty. Well, that's enough about weather. This isn't a weather forecast. This is a basketball podcast. Let's break into this. Like I said, we have a bunch to talk about. Let's go with the biggest headline. Nats to the Lakers. What do you think, Brett?
Wow. How many 38-year-olds do you see them throw 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks after?
That was the craziest part of the deal. I was like, you're spending that much on this old of a player?
It's a last-ditch effort. They got to get another ring for Kobe before he retires.
I just think it's crucial to what they did, though, because, I mean, one ring to pretty much at least a 5-year future is what they just gave away.
One ring to what, 5-year future?
Yeah, I'm going to say about a 5-year future, maybe 4.
Do you think Nash has 5 years left?
No, I'm talking about all their picks.
Oh, yeah. It was over 4 years, I think, yeah. Because they alternated the years on the first-round picks and the second-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's craziness.
Yeah, I don't think there's many 38-year-olds you can go swing for 2 first-rounders.
Honestly, I would put Nash as the only one,
yeah.
Ever. I wouldn't have even done that for Jordan.
Stockton was good till he was 40. And it looks like Nash is going to be just the same thing. Stockton retired on top. He could have went more seasons.
Yeah, that is true. He could have.
What about his son playing in the summer league now? Michael Stockton is playing in the Jazz for the summer league.
Nice. I've DVR'd a couple of the summer games, but I haven't got a chance to watch them.
I haven't either, but I'm sure he'll have that summer league jersey hanged up in his basement since I'll never never earn a real one.
For sure. But going back to the Nash trade, what does this mean for the Lakers? Does this make them a title contender?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously going to make Bynum into the player he should have been all along. He'll probably average 20 points a game next year. It'll be interesting to see how it all comes together, because Nash needs the ball in his hands to be effective. That's the kind of player he is. Kobe likes the ball in his hands. They have a lot of mouths to feed at that. It's hard to say how it's all going to come together, really. I mean, I don't know. Ideally, they just ride Nash and Bynum pick and rolls for 3 quarters, and then go to Kobe and let him hammer it down their throats in the fourth.
That would be cool, but Kobe would not like that.
No.
I don't know. This is going to be very interesting. I do think this is probably the best 4 on one team, though. If you throw in Gasol.
Maybe.
You got Gasol, Bynum, Nash, Kobe, all-stars, all capable of doing damage to anybody in the league. I say that's the best 4 in the league.
Chemistry-wise, I would figure they probably would have to be. They're all good passers. Kobe can be when he wants to be.
Yeah, definitely.
If the ball movement's good, they could be the team to beat next year.
Sure, it's going to be very interesting. Do you think this makes them a top 3 Western team?
Let's see. Yeah, I would say they're probably 2nd or 3rd. Oklahoma City, them. Spurs.
Yeah, those are my 3 right there.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot about Nash. He is an old guy. Well, here's another old guy. Ray Allen goes to the Heat, signs a free agent contract. What do you think about Allen with the Heat?
I wrote about Allen for Hardwood Houdini, as I have to, of course. You know, he's a Celtics player, or was a Celtics player. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. I guess he and Rondo never got along, from what I understand. They didn't talk all year. They just kind of played on the same team and tolerated each other. He didn't feel completely respected and liked from Danny Ainge and Doc Rivers for whatever reason either. I guess Pat Riley just put on a show for him and made him figure, you know, this is where I'm going to retire. I don't understand. I mean, maybe he wants to win another ring too, but as I wrote in the article, I said, you know, Allen's done so much already. What does he really have to do to cement his legacy as a player? In my mind, nothing. He's already the best shooter that's ever played. He's got himself a ring. Leads the NBA in threes all-time made. I mean, he wins another ring. I'm not going to think he's a better player, but I guess that's the purpose of playing in the league or of being any athlete is to win as many championships as possible. So maybe that's why he's done it.
Maybe it is the Rondo beat. I mean, the Heat and Boston have kind of developed a rivalry over the last couple of years. Maybe it's just like, hey, Rondo, I'm going to show you how to go to another team and beat you. Maybe that's what it is.
It might just be that simple. I mean, it's weird to think that a 36-year-old player like Allen, he's almost 37 actually, turns 37 in a month or two, would be so wound up in a pissing match with somebody like Rondo, who's an infant in the league. You kind of figure he would take the high road, but maybe this is his idea of what the high road is.
Yeah, maybe he lost that with the Shuttleworth. We have no idea. But I think it's going to be very interesting when you have a player like Rhett Allen come off the bench. I mean, no disrespect to Mike Miller or anybody that the Heat had this year. Allen is by far superb to all of them. So,
right.
When they're driving the lane and looking for open shooters like they did in the NBA Finals, I mean, boom, there's Ray Allen, the best shooter of all time. What could be wrong with that?
Plus, think of the creative lineups they can get moving away from the starting lineup itself. They can throw Chalmers, Ray Allen, Wade, LeBron, and Bosch all on the floor at the same time. I don't know how what kind of lineups that'll work against, but it's going to do damage to a lot of teams. It's putting that many shooters and that many good players on the court at once. Wade's athletic enough, he could cover some small forwards.
Very true. It's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, the Lakers and the Heat, it's going to be pretty cool. I'm actually excited for the season just to see how things work out. I'm more excited about this than the Howard news and, you know, last year where if Steve Williams was going to stay with the Nets or what he was doing. I'm more excited about these teams than that. But
speaking of Williams, Howard...
He's got a new buddy in Brooklyn, Joe Johnson. What do you think about Joe Johnson joining Darren Williams, who is now going to stay with Brooklyn, the old New Jersey Nets,
and Gerald Wallace? Yeah. And they're not done making moves yet. I don't know if this Howard thing is going to happen, if he's going to go to New Jersey or not. If New Jersey gets him for what they're giving up now, it's highway robbery. They're basically giving up Brooke Lopez as a bunch of scrubs. They're giving away Chris Humphreys. They're giving away Marshawn Brooks. And if they throw Howard in tow with those three that we just mentioned, you know, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, and Gerald Wallace, that's a contending team in the East.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Eastern Conference isn't that deep anyway. But you throw those four players together, I mean, it's not the Lakers' big four, but it's only a step below.
And, you know, Gerald Wallace isn't quite the shot blocker he used to be, but he's still pretty good with some weak side blocks. Howard's, of course, a beast blocking shots. That interior defense will be pretty tough for a lot of teams.
Yeah, I think Gerald Wallace is the best X factor I've ever seen. Because you look at him, you look at his stats and stuff, he doesn't seem like a marquee name or nothing like that. But when you watch the game, he's like the superior role player, the superior X factor that changes the game.
Being the fantasy basketball geek I am, I get kind of wrapped up in all those stat-stuffing kind of players, and Gerald Wallace is one of those guys. He's very valuable in fantasy. He always has been when he's healthy. So I don't know if it's the proper way to measure a player's talent, but he's extremely valuable in fantasy basketball, and I always feel like that's a way to measure a player's talent when you might not see it ostensibly through what people call real-life value. You know, hey, players like he and Sean Marion and others that just – Kirilenko, guys that stuff the stat sheet and get picked in the first, second rounds of fantasy that – you know, if it was real life, they wouldn't be a first or second round pick.
Right. I agree. I like Wallace's game. I always had him when he was with the Sacramento Kings. He didn't get much playing time, but when he was in there, he was energetic and did a little bit of everything.
But he was a hell of an athlete before he started aging. He was averaging two steals and two blocks a game one year, I think. I'd have to look up to get the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure it was over two steals and blocks one year. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, staying in the East Coast and actually right next to Brooklyn, we have the New York Knicks signing Marcus Camby again. I don't think this signing has much to do about anything. I mean, Camby's older. He's never been an offensive presence. He will help them defensively, but they still have Tyson Chandler. So I don't know what this means for the Knicks. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm always a big fan of Twin Towers lineups. But how could you put Chandler and Camby on the court at the same time and never score?
Yeah, there'd be no scoring whatsoever.
So that won't work. And then what makes it worse is, you know, you start with Chandler, and he can score a little bit. He can finish around the basket. He can put up 10 points a game. And then you come in with another guy that can't score. It's just going to make Melo take even more bad shots. They just re-signed J.R. Smith to jack up more awful shots. I don't see the Knicks ever being the team that people think they are.
Yeah, and they also got Jason Kidd from Dallas. What do you think about that?
I don't know what the Knicks are doing with their point guard situation. It's said that they're going to match the offer for Lynn. I think they sure as shit should match that offer for Lynn. He's unproven for sure, but that's how you get bargains. You sign guys before they've completely blown up and proven their worth, and you have to pay them max contracts. If they could get Lynn now for $8 million a year, I think they should probably just go ahead and do it. If they roll the dice and lose on that one, who would blame them?
Now, the offer they have to match is from the Houston Rockets, correct?
Yeah, it's from the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, I love Skid, but let's face it, he's 39 years old, too, and he's not Nash.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take care of his body the way Nash did. He's a lot slower. Nash will slow down a little bit, but he's still quick. Kid is slow, and his numbers have been declining noticeably for the last, couple years. So, I don't know. I would have just went all in with Lynn. Wouldn't have gave him a huge, you know, max contract, but like you said, that's how you get bargains. They get bargains.
Mm-hmm. No, Kid doesn't have much left in the tank at all. He's still good for the whole coach on the floor aspect, running plays and setting people up and doing what a point guard's supposed to do. But at this point, could you even call Kid a starting point guard anymore?
No, I wouldn't. And it's, like I said, it sucks to say because I'm a huge Jason Kidd fan, but it's just,
been a Kidd fan too, but.
I see him more as a Derek Fisher with Oklahoma City Thunder. You know what I mean?
Except, Fisher has the lucky rabbit's foot gene of hitting all those crucial clutch shots, and Kidd doesn't have that over his career.
That is true. But he has become a good three-point shooter, though.
He has, somehow. I forgot it. A guy that came into the league is Ace and no J. Kidd. I mean, Ace and Kidd.
Yep. And now he's decent.
Mm-hmm. Fifth all-time in threes made.
Yeah. It's crazy. My Chicago Bulls have brought back Kurt Heinrich. Let me say my thoughts real quick. I am very excited. I know we got rid of, or they're going to have to get rid of Watson.
Yeah, Watson's unrestricted now.
What's that?
Watson's now unrestricted.
Right, and there's a couple other people that they had to make unrestricted to get Heinrich.
What's his name? Lucas is unrestricted now, too.
Yeah,
I guess he's drawn interest from the Heat. I don't know why. I said, I guess he's drawing interest from the Heat, Lucas. I don't understand why. He's just going to fuck up whatever they have going on down there. LeBron's going to hit him upside the head every trip down the court. But
they need somebody new to call the little brother because Mario Chalmers is growing up.
Yeah, I mean, they have to have somebody new to pick on, I guess, right?
Right. I love Kurt Heinrich's game. I always have. I watched him when he was in Kansas. He's a great player. I mean, he's never a superstar, will never be an all-star. He's probably past his prime, but he's not in his twilight. He's kind of like in the middle there.
Yeah.
I love this signing. I think that's an awesome backup for Derrick Rose. If Rose gets hurt again, boom, you have a sort of starting caliber point guard to put in there. So I'm happy about it.
Yeah, it's a good move. He should have just stayed there. He's been a good player his whole career. He's bounced around in a couple unfavorable situations. Now, he never really found a home in Atlanta. I thought Atlanta would have been a great fit for him, but Teague started coming up quick, and I guess he's their point guard of the future now. I don't know what Atlanta's doing. We could do a special podcast on just about every team in the league at this point with the offseason rolling, but we'll touch on Atlanta either later on this episode or next episode. They're a team in transition, obviously, now having gotten rid of Joe Johnson.
Yeah, they're in flux, that's for sure.
Let's talk about the Magic.
Okay.
Rob Heinegan, our new 30-year-old GM, a year younger than me, and he's a GM in the NBA, has gotten off to a fantastic start by trading away the most improved player of the league Ryan Anderson, a guy who averaged 16 points and 7.7 rebounds a game, deals him away for Gustavo Ayun, who averaged under 6 points and under 5 rebounds a game, a 27-year-old rookie with limited upside, in a move that is potentially done to free up more salary. They're continuing to try to establish that motif with their Howard move, getting rid of Quentin Richardson, and who is their... I guess they're probably going to be able to dump Turkoglu. No, I think they'll probably be stuck with Turkoglu. Quentin Richardson and Duhon. Oh, Jason Richardson. That's the other bad contract. And it's really funny when teams go and unload a contract that they just signed. They just inked Richardson last summer for 2 years. I'm like, okay, well, why'd we do that? Oh, so we can have another bad contract to trade. That makes sense. So they've done that, and the guy's just, he's done nothing but bad so far, and he's only been GM for a week and a half. He drafted Nicholson out of St. Bonaventure in the NBA draft. I've never seen St. Bonaventure on TV before, so I have no idea what we just got Nicholson. I guess he's supposed to be another stretch four. Fantastic. Now we don't even have Van Gundy to run that system anymore. Got rid of Van Gundy. I guess they're bringing in Brian Shaw. I don't know what to think about that either. The Magic are a total mess right now, but I guess they're going to be a mess until this is all sorted out and we get the first pick in the draft next year.
Right. I was extremely surprised with that pick because there were still some real solid players left in the draft that everybody had heard of. And then when they signed or they drafted Nicholson, I was kind of surprised, not going to lie.
Yeah, I don't know who he is. It's pretty bad. Oh, shit. Sorry, I just sat on a burning hot ember. And I burned
there,
it.
Right,
and
right
I put
there.
A hole in the chair. That was bad. Okay. Sorry about that, Podcast Nation. I sat on a burning hot ember from my cigarette and burnt my butt and put a hole in the chair. But we're moving on. Yeah, the Magic have just shot themselves in the foot in the worst way. And I guess that's what you do when you rebuild a team. You just blow it up and make it as bad as possible so you get a high draft pick rather than do what, you know, a number of NBA teams have done and just linger in mediocrity for year after year.
Right. And what I was saying about the NBA draft, I pulled it up here, and after Nicholson he got, I mean, I know Jared Bollinger had a bad back and stuff like that. He was red flagged, so maybe not a person you'd want to sign, but with all the stuff surrounding Howard and pretty much is going to be gone. I mean, Fab Mello was still on the board.
Yeah.
Miles Plumlee was still on the board. Terry Jones was still on the board. Festus Ezeli was still on the board. They still could have did something better than Nicholson.
I know. And you know, Ezeli, you just mentioned, he's a guy I really liked when I watched him in the NCAA tournament. He plays hard. He's got a big body. I mean, granted, I watched him abuse Harvard. And anybody with any kind of vertical leap and strength can abuse Harvard on the boards, but he threw them out of the way like they were little YMCA boys. So I was pretty impressed with Ezeli. He went in all the way down into the mid-second round, if I recall right. He might never pan out to be much of anything, but I don't... When you're talking about a late first-round pick, you're taking risks anyway. You mentioned Perry Jones. He went to Oklahoma City. They might have gotten the steal of the draft.
Yeah, I was surprised he fell that far. And it's all because of behavior and his personal issues. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because if you look at him on the court, he's a stud.
Yeah, yeah. The upside on him could range anywhere from as high as Tyus Thomas to, not Tyus Thomas, as high as Andre Kirilenko to as low as someone like Stromile Swift or Tyus Thomas. I mean, he's a kind of player that the potential on is very high, and to get him that late in the draft makes sense. Congratulations, Sam Presti, on proving to the league once again why you're the best GM in the league.
While we're talking about the draft, we might as well stay here. Well, we were just talking about Atlanta, so I'm going to bring that back up. With the 23rd pick in the first round, they took John Jenkins. He reminds me of your guys with Orlando, J.J. Redick. I don't think he's going to be much more than a shooter.
Well, for the 23rd pick in the draft, you can do a lot worse. Redick was a lottery pick.
That is true, but still, Perry Jones is still on the board. I guess, yeah. I'm just going to throw his name around because he was definitely the best out of the last, like, 10 picks.
Yeah, well, there will be a lot of teams that will be kicking themselves for not drafting Perry Jones. I think we know that. Even if he doesn't pan out to be the high end of his upside, as I was saying, like a Kirilenko-type player, his... What he will probably still be better than the 29th pick in the draft.
Yeah, I understand that. What about the Rockets? The Rockets have the 12th pick, 16th pick, and the 18th pick with some trade maneuvering and stuff like that. They grab Jeremy Lamb. They grab Royce White, who I'm a big fan of from Iowa State,
mm-hmm.
and Terrence Jones. What do you think of this trio that they just picked up?
I think Terrence Jones should have stayed in Kentucky at least another year, if not two. Talent-wise, I think he is one of the best players in the draft. He just hadn't put in a big enough body of work yet to capitalize on his talent. Lamb, I think... Yeah, I'm not sure. We've talked a lot about Lamb. And he obviously went 12th for that reason. He was at one point considered a top 7, top 8 pick, and he fell just a little bit, I think, due to his one-dimensionality. You know, he's just a shooter. That's not to say he can't have a great career. And, you know, Royce White, he should be a beast. I think his game will translate really well. He has a good NBA-ready body, definitely. And, yeah, they got a few nice players there with their picks. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know why Lowry wants out. And they just let Goran Dragic go to Phoenix. So I don't know what they're going to do for a point guard now. I have a feeling they're not done dealing at all for the summer. I think they're going to do something big still.
Yeah, they almost have to still do something big, especially with Lowry wanting to get out.
Yeah.
But if anything, they can trade in for another decent point guard. But I don't know who you would get, because I think Lowry is on the top of the second tier. You know, after the super duper stars,
right?
I think he's on the top of the next tier, and they're not going to get a Derrick Rose or Chris Paul for him, unless you know you trade your whole team away. So I don't even know what they could do in a trade. But we are talking about Lamb. I think he was the most overrated player in this draft. Mm. I tried to say that before. I think he was the most overrated. Like you said, he's one dimensional. All he does is shoot. He's got a nice shot, yes, but all the intangibles of the game, all the other stuff he lacks. So I don't know how much that's going to help the Rockets. I like their other two picks better, even though I do agree that Terrence Jones could have stayed in college.
Yeah, I think, you know, Lamb's going to be the kind of player that's going to be system dependent. And they're going to need a big, they're going to need somebody to create shots for him, because I don't think he can create his own shot. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll develop into the kind of player that can. But right now, he's too reliant on other players.
Right. And the New Orleans Hornets, in the midst of this Eric Gordon spree and trying to re-sign him and get him to stick around, they get the first pick and the 10th pick and say Anthony Davis, who is everybody's obvious number one choice, and Austin Rivers. How do you think Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon stay, how they would work together?
Well, the Hornets are looking really interesting. They have Austin Rivers now and Gordon, which should be a phenomenal backcourt, whether either one of them is a point guard, which is, you know, not really germane to they'll find a way. Too much talent there. And then Anthony Davis is potential rookie of the year, potential franchise-building talent. And then they just traded Gustavo Ayon, a consummate role player, for a guy that could be an all-star in himself, Ryan Anderson. He's on the brink of being an all-star. He outplayed Bosch right before the all-star game. Lots of people were saying he should have made the all-star team. And then Bosch came back and outplayed him the next two meetings. And Anderson was getting $2 million a year, and Bosch was on a max contract. So, you know, I think I'd take Anderson and when you're getting your bang for your buck on that one. And now Anderson is on a four-year, $36 million deal. He's worth that. He might be worth more than that. I think the Hornets just pulled a hell of a trade. Get a few more complimentary pieces in there, develop what they have, and they could make a run for the eighth seed.
Now, going back to Gordon, the team that he seems most interested in, they seem most interested in him, is the Phoenix Suns. With Steve Nash gone, why would he want to go to Phoenix?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I think he just wants to get paid, and the Hornets are going to match anyway, I think. So, why would he not? Why would he turn the offer down, I guess, is the real question, you know? He's given a max contract offer from another team. Of course, he's going to take the offer and leave the Hornets to match it.
Right. Well, I hope he stays in New Orleans, because I want to see how this team develops, because they are putting together some awesome teams.
And they have a fan base there, too. It's not like it's happening in Atlanta, where there's going to be 6,000 people filling the arena to see it. So it'd be a neat story if New Orleans built the team and turned themselves into a powerhouse.
Right. I just have one question for you. Who is going to be our newest punchline? Are we staying with Charlotte, or are we moving on to Atlanta for our punchline team?
Ooh. Charlotte holds it until they're proven otherwise.
We'll see about that. At least they did get Michael Kidd Gilchrist, who I'm a fan of, so we'll see.
I made a bet with my brother at 4-1 odds that Gilchrist wins Rookie of the Year.
Oh,
I laid down an upstanding $5 to win 20 on that one, so I think that was a good bet.
If he would have went to a different team, I would still go with Thomas Robinson. He is my favorite player in this league, in this draft. But with the Sacramento Kings, DeMarcus Cousins, Tariq Evans, just too many loose personalities, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, the Kings are going to be a team, at least for the next couple few years, with Fredette and Cousins and Evans and the massive talent they have that have way more talent than they will wins. I just don't see that team coming together chemistry-wise.
No, they can't keep a gym. They can't keep a coach. They can't keep their talent controlled. Like, it's just, I don't think it's going to work out. And I feel bad for Thomas Robinson because if he would have went, say, fourth to the Cavaliers, or 7th to the Warriors, even 8th to the Raptors. I think he would have a better start to his career.
Yeah, he's in basketball purgatory now.
Yeah, he is. Speaking of that, though, Bradley Beal goes 3rd to Washington Wizards, who is another one of my favorite players in the draft. But he's a different kind of guy. Do you think he'll be able to keep his head up and not fall into being a dummy in Washington?
I don't know. I mean, Washington, again, they're just like Sacramento. They got a lot of talent that I don't see ever really coming together. Beal and Wall could become one of the best backcourts in the league, or they could linger for another 5 to 7 years on that team winning 30 games a year. I have no idea which will happen. Washington's just a mess. They're about to amnesty Andre Blatch, which is admitting complete failure on an experiment with a player whose physical talents I compare to Kevin Garnett, but mental talents I compare to somebody in the D-League.
Well, maybe this is a sign of them turning the corner. If they're amnestying Blatch, who has, you know, character flaws, they got rid of McVale. How do you say his name?
JaVale McGee, yeah.
Yeah, JaVale McGee. I tried to put his first name and his last name together at the same time. But JaVale McGee, who was another character issue guy that traded him off, it looks like they're trying to change the product that they have.
Yeah, they have to do something. I mean, and when you have a guy like Maurice Evans, who is of debatable value as a player, period, basically tearing up the entire team, saying there's no leadership and no direction and no attitude early in the year, that's a pretty clear sign when you're getting scrubs speaking out against the team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he's pretty much, I mean, that's, a scrub is the best way to call him. I mean, that's pretty much the
yeah.
I'd agree with that. We were talking about amnesty and Black. What about Philadelphia 76ers doing that to Elton Brand?
Well, I thought they should have done it last year, actually. He had 2 years of $18 million remaining, and they just got rid of this last year of $18 million. I don't know why didn't amnesty him last year. I wrote for Encore Onslaught, our host site for this podcast, all the potential amnesty options for every team, and I said, you know, he is prime candidate number one for the Sixers, and they didn't use it. They just did. It makes sense, obviously. The guy is not worth $18 million now. He's worth about half that, if that. Probably worth about $6 million a year, I would say. That's probably about what he'll get.
I agree.
He's not the player he used to be, but, you know, that goes without saying, I guess.
Definitely. We'll just move on, just kind of jump around to end this out. You mentioned earlier before we started recording about Grant Hill, if you want to talk about him real quick.
Yes, Grant Hill is being courted by a few different teams. I'll let you know in just a second here if I can. The Heat were one of them. Just a second here. Well, Grant Hill, he's 38 years old, first off, so he's in the same boat as Nash. As we're looking at a player that has very little left in the tank, but Nash probably has more left in the tank than Grant Hill. He's playing on metal ankles, and he's still a valuable player in this league because he's a good role player, and I'm still not seeing the teams that are committed to him here.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I mean, even though he's getting older, Hill still has skills on both sides of the court. He's not the fastest guy, but for some odd reason, he knows how to move his feet and can still stay in front of the quicker players on defense.
Yeah, I mean, his career has been extended by the amount of time he took off having to rehab. It's left some years in his legs that wouldn't have been there otherwise. I guess there's been talk that he'd go on to the Lakers with Nash. I could see that happening. He'd be they're in need of a small forward anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I guess they just signed Shawnee Williams to replace Matt Barnes, which is a downgrade. I don't know why this Shawnee Williams guy is still in the league. He hasn't done anything yet. He must have a lot of potential in practice or something.
Yeah, he has done nothing at all. Nothing at all. Well, I hope Grant Hill finds a happy home, and I hope he gets out of Phoenix. Like, I liked Phoenix when they had that team that was running and putting up points. They didn't really play any defense, but now, I mean, they're not really scoring points. They're still not playing defense. They're not doing anything except losing games. And I think, like, players like Steve Nash and Grant Hill at their stage of their career and how great they have been, they deserve better. So I hope he gets out of there.
Yeah, it would be sad to see him linger his last two or three seasons in the league, playing into what could be a Hall of Fame career still, doing nothing for a team that is going nowhere. So I guess I like to see him ring chase. That's what they all seem to do at this point anyway.
Right, exactly. Moving on to contract extensions. We've got Scott Brooks, Blake Griffin, and Tim Duncan, and Boris Diaw. Duncan and Diaw with the Spurs, of course. Griffin with the Clippers, Scott Brooks, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are any of those shocking? I mean, why wouldn't you keep any of those guys around, except maybe for Diaw, but he's a good backup.
Yeah, no, nothing shocking there. I was talking with somebody the other day about how amazing it is how some players that have almost no history in the league as a good player become great coaches. Scott Brooks wouldn't be in the league today. He was 5'11", he was scrub in the 90s, and the time when the league was... you could go either way, saying it was either more talented or not, depending on expansion. But anyway, I don't think Brooks would be in the league today. He's now one of the league's best coaches. He deserves the extension, and the Thunder are a team that are going to be reckoned with for a while.
I think he is a product of the information age. We have all these coaches that make videos of how to teach or how to, you know, coach players how to play. We have internet where you can look up any if you want to know how to run. 2-3 zone, if you want to know how to man or motion offense, boom. All you got to do is go online and boom, it's right there. If you have a half a brain and know the game of basketball, I mean, I guess you can put it together, and Scott Brooks has done it well.
Yeah, it's always a phenomenon to me when I see guys that I know couldn't play a lick of basketball, or he was in the NBA, so he obviously could play some basketball, but guys like Van Gundy, and both Van Gundys for that matter, and, you know, they become great coaches, but you can tell if they were nothing when they're on the court themselves.
Right. Well, we'll never mistake that with Vinny Del Negro. At least I won't.
No, Vinny Del Negro was a consummate pro and coach.
real quick, the Boston Celtics re-signed Kevin Garnett, or extended re-signed, whatever you want to say. Kevin Garnett, Jeff Green, and Brandon Bass. Any of these shocking?
No, and what's shocking not there is that not what they've done, but that the Celtics are not looking to rebuild at all. They are not rebuilding. And they've made that very apparent by signing Jason Terry, a 34-year-old. They've re-signed Garnett, who's 38. They are not making any move to trade Pierce. They re-signed Bass. Bass is still young. You know, that's not really proof against that notion, but I'm glad they're not rebuilding. It takes so long to get a franchise that can contend, and if you're near contending, you should try to keep contending.
Right, and I mean, they just went 7 games in the Eastern Conference Championship Series.
They gave the Heat more trouble than the Thunder did.
Why would you try to go crazy about it when you just got that far?
I wouldn't. And like I said, you know, they gave the Heat more trouble than the Thunder did. You could make a strong argument that the Celtics were the second-best team in this year's playoffs.
Yeah, it would be a strong argument, and I've always made fun of them because of their age, but then when it comes to the postseason, you saw what their age got them. I mean, they had the experience, they knew what to do, when to do it, and boom, all of a sudden, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Then they go into this draft, another problem that they had was they were thinning out. Shaq goes, Jermaine O'Neal, he's done. They had to move Kevin Garnett to center because they didn't have any big men. Well, they go into the draft, and they get Jared Sullinger and Fab Melo, which are two big bodies. One can score, and one's a great defender. So we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah, it was a good draft for the Celtics. They still have some options too. This Greg Stiesma is not Steemsa. I don't know how you say that guy's name. It's not even pronounceable. I think they just made something up. But He needs to be re-signed, and there's a lot of talk that they may sign and trade him, but he has a lot of value for a guy that played, you know, a handful of minutes throughout the year because he's 6'11", he's a young body, he's pretty athletic, you know, for a goofy white guy anyway. And so, I mean, if they bring him back aboard, they throw in Fab Mello, Sullinger, Garnett, they have enough size down there to stay in the mix in the East.
Yeah, I have to agree. I like the draft now. It just all depends on Sullinger's back. I mean, if his back holds up, awesome. It doesn't.
If it doesn't, all they lost was
a gamble because I mean, it's 21. It could go either way. And if he becomes one of the best players out of the draft class, then you know the Danny Ainge is going to get a pat on the back and say, "Hey, that was a great draft."
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
And if he's a so-called bust and never develops, nobody's going to say anything. They'll just say, "Well, you took a risk."
Right.
It's a win-win move.
Exactly. That's what I'm going with. I think it's a win-win move for Boston. Even though I don't like to say win and Boston in the same sentence, I will this time around.
You know what's very inconsistent about you, Brandon, is that you give the Celtics a hard time for being old, yet you praise the Spurs and they're just as old.
But they're just as great. They're a great basketball team. It's not like my love for Tim Duncan. I have a man crush on Tim Duncan. Yes, I do. I love Tim Duncan. And Tony Parker. Those two players, they're just awesome. I love watching them play. They just make the game of basketball look so damn good.
And they've made each other so much better through their careers. They're both great players in their own right, but they've found a way to make each other even better.
Yeah, it's a great thing to watch. Right before we go, because I know we're probably time crunching now, I just wanted to mention the 2012 U.S. Olympics basketball team has been officially made. Named, made, same thing. Had a lot of problems with injuries. Derrick Rose, we could sit here and list.
Wade.
Quickly go over the name. You tell me if there's anybody that should be in that's not in. Here we go. We got Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Kobe Bryant, Tyson Chandler, rookie Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Rudy Gay, Eric Gordon, Blake Griffin, James Harden, Andre Iguodala, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Darren Williams. Anybody belong in there?
On the outside looking in is...
What's that?
Who's on the outside looking in here on this one?
Like I said, with all the injuries, I really don't know.
I think Lamar Odom must have got cut because he was in the process of trying to make the team.
Yeah, he did get cut.
He deserved to get cut. We were talking like a few shows ago about who was going to make the team. Well, injuries took care of that for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they had some serious decisions to make, and the injuries made all the decisions for them. So, well, there's our team. You know, obvious lack of size, but I don't think it'll matter. Our country's so far ahead of all the rest basketball-wise. You can throw Iguodala at center, and it probably won't matter.
Right. Yeah, there's only one true center, but if you think about it, what other true center would you put on here? Bynum? Howard?
What true center out there on all those teams is going to come abuse them anyway? Oberto? Scola? I mean, you're talking about like average NBA players as like our biggest threats down low as opposing players.
Right. You got a good point.
I guess Ilyasova would be like the biggest worry if we face Turkey and Ilyasova goes for like 40 and 20.
Yeah, but he doesn't even play a center's game.
No. No, they have no worries.
It's like a 7-foot small forward.
Dwight Howard looked at me like I was like half retarded or something when I asked him if he was worried about the U.S. having a lack of size with him and Chandler being the only centers.
Yeah, and then he gets hurt and not even in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he wasn't thinking about the Olympics, so now we know why. He didn't want to play anyway. Oh, yeah, he couldn't if he wanted to, but...
Right.
That's why it was too far ahead, because stuff like that happens.
Yeah, I really don't think there's anybody outside looking in. I mean, the only person that I could think of, maybe Joe Johnson, maybe...
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge, but I think he was already going to be named and they voted him off.
Oh. Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge is a lot more talented than Tyson Chandler, but Chandler just won Defensive Player of the Year, and they seem to have a pendant for picking a role player or two to throw on the team every year anyway. Tayshaun Prince was on the last one. I mean.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler is going to be a joke for me for a very long time since he won the Defensive Player of the Year.
And didn't make
it. But then he's named on the second team.
Right, that'll forever be a head scratcher.
Yeah, always.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here at Encore. We've come at you with one of our longest podcasts yet. We are closing in on 40 minutes of awesomeness here. Quick shout out to Steel and Home Sports, your place for sports memorabilia. Go ahead and go spend some money there. And I know you want to go buy a LeBron James autograph or something nice for somebody other than yourself, because that's a, I don't know. I'm just rambling. Anyway, Steel and Home Sports, your place for sports memorabilia. You can check us both out on Fansided's blog network. Brandon writes for Halt. You can heat all you. What's the U letter? Not Y-O-U. I write for Hardwood Houdini. It's H-O-U-D-I-N-I, Houdini. Both are great blogs for the Fansided blog network. Colin's going to be interviewing a porn star pretty soon about the Heat. So make sure to check out our main Sporting Rave podcast for that. I'm sure it'll be full of plenty of LOLs for all of you, because Colin's a pretty funny guy. That's why we work for him. So we'll get it to you guys again sometime soon.
Definitely.
See you.